A Playlist Original.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Breakfast Book Club. Today I'm joined by Meg, who is a member of the Breakfast Book Club. We also have like an actual book club and we meet every month via Zoom. We discuss our October pick, which is Hamnet by Maggie O'Farrell. We are a little bit negative on the book in the episode and don't want to be, because it is obviously a brilliant book. It's won plenty of awards. It's just not my cup of tea, and it wasn't Meg's either. But we do also discuss other books. A lot of thrillers come up, and Meg's important read. She is a teacher, so it plays into that a little bit. And I will actually pass you over to Meg now as she makes a dedication to a special little boy who recently passed away. This episode is dedicated to him.
Okay, so before we start, I'd just like to do a little dedication to Caden Griffin. He was the sunshine of so many people's lives, and he sadly passed away recently. And it just feels really special to be able to come on and talk about him, because he loved reading, he loved making up stories, and he was just a delight to be around. So we miss you so much, Caden. We love you all so much, and we will see you one day. We'll meet you again. Thank you.
Hi, Meg. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you so much for being a guest.
That's all right. Thank you for having me.
So this episode's our book club episode. So Meg is a member of the book club, and this month our book pick was Hamnet by Maggie O'Farrell. So we'll discuss that a little bit later. But to begin with, what are you currently reading?
I'm currently reading The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave. I got it as a birthday book like last month. I'm having a bit of a thriller month because it's October. And I really struggled to get into it, but now I've sort of read about 200 pages in the last, you know, this afternoon. So I'm getting into it now.
I couldn't think of which one that was then, but that was the Reese Witherspoon's book pick, wasn't it? Is that one?
I think so, yeah.
I've seen like mixed reviews of that, so maybe people just haven't read far enough.
Yeah, it was really tricky at the beginning. I quite like it's short chapters, so you feel like you whiz through it quite quickly.
Oh, God, I love a short chapter. I am currently reading Out of Love by Hazel Hayes.
I haven't heard of that one.
So I was having a thriller month as well, read quite a few. Mm-hmm. And then this last week, I just haven't been able to get into anything. Like, I think it's just with decorating and everything else, I just can't focus on a book. So this one's been on my shelf since last Christmas. I think I got it last December. So I was like, right, read it. It's like a romance, but it starts at the breakup.
All right.
And goes backwards. So I'm only about 70 pages in, but they're long chapters.
Yeah.
Not for those of us who have a short attention span.
I agree. I really agree.
My attention span is very small at the moment. So it's taken me a little while, but I just took Betty to get a haircut. Well, dog grooming. It's not necessarily a haircut. I went back to the car and had like 40 minutes of peace reading it, and I only managed like 20 pages.
Oh,
and
wow.
I would usually manage like about four, like a page a minute.
Yeah,
maybe definitely. A bit more, but yeah, so it's good. I'm into it, but I think it's going to take a while. It's quite
I agree. I definitely had a reading slump at the beginning of this month. I just could not get into anything. I was really struggling.
I wonder as well whether like the weather has something to do with it, because it's like, how do I put it? So because I know you were supposed to enjoy reading more when it's like dark and cozy, but I just don't want to do anything. It's just miserable. I don't want to get out of bed in the morning to read, because I'm like, oh, I can hear the rain. It's freezing. I'll just stay here. And next thing, I'm rushing to work.
I Absolutely. And we're both in the same position of moving house as well. Trying to read and move house is not easy.
No, that I like really underestimated that. I was like, yeah, it'd be fine. I'll just keep these books out so I can read like when I get a spare hour or whatever. But there's no such thing as a spare hour.
No, definitely not. Not at all.
Me and James were just saying, like, he was like, oh, you know, we haven't done anything. Like, we haven't even been out for coffee since we moved, and we moved in September. And I was like, yeah, but we just decorate, and not even decorate, we just move boxes from room to room.
Absolutely. And trying to find things that you've packed away, trying to find books you've packed away is not easy.
No. Well, I missed a whole book club month because I couldn't find my book. Didn't find it until like the 25th of September. I was like, too late now.
And that was quite a long book as well, because that was the 5, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was no way I was reading that in 5 days. Not a chance. So the main part of the podcast is your most important read. What would you say is your most important read?
I would say my most important read would probably be Wander by RJ Palacio. Mainly because actually it is probably the main reason I got into my teaching job. We had to give a book presentation in order to get onto the PGCE course, and that was the book I gave a presentation on. So it's partly why I've got a teaching job and I am a teacher. But it's just, I think it's such a powerful book. It's got such an amazing message, all about teaching empathy to children, well, just to anyone really. And the film also was brilliant. Not as brilliant as the book, but I find they rarely are.
Yeah.
So yeah, that would definitely be my most important book. And there's also a sequel to it which I really, really love as well, which is all the different viewpoints of the same story. So although technically I'm cheating, it's two books, but they're really powerful, wonderful books. I love them.
So the sequel is the first book from a different perspective.
Yeah, so I think it's split into the three characters that play a role in the child's life, Oggy's life. So he's got I'll try not to say too much if people want to read it or watch a film, but he's got a physical disability, and for that reason hasn't been attending school. But the second book then is on these three other children that become a part of his life, and it's just really wonderful how you see the different viewpoints. It's just even better how it teaches empathy, really, when you've got four different viewpoints telling the same story.
Yeah, I do like that. I love when books are told from different perspectives.
Yeah, absolutely.
What would you say is your most anticipated read?
So I've just finished The Family Upstairs by Lisa Jewell. And I think actually it was you that told me there's a sequel, which I'm so, so grateful for, because I have so many unanswered questions about that book.
Yes. So that was my pick as well, actually, because when I was like planning what I was going to choose, I thought, oh, Meg's just read this as well. I wonder if she chooses the same book. We should probably choose something different. And I was like, no, she might not. But yeah, that's definitely... So I listened to that one as well.
Okay.
I found with movement, if I've listened to more books lately, because I can do it whilst I'm doing things.
Yeah.
So you just don't get a minute, but listening to it was like, because you get it with the different voices.
Oh, that must have been brilliant, because it was from so many different perspectives, which was just brilliant.
Yeah, it was so, so good. And I was like gripped and eager to know what was going on. And it was the opposite of what I was expecting. Like, I was expecting, I don't know, like a ghost family in the attic or something.
That's exactly what I thought it was going to be as well. Like, I don't know why I thought it was like a family ghost. When she first heard that sound, I was like, no, it's definitely like haunted. Not at all what I was expecting.
Yeah, but that's better. Like, most thrillers that I read are ghosts.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to a break from thrillers, I am going to be honest, because I'm struggling now. I think I need a nice rom-com to sort of break it up.
Yeah, well, I done that last year. Like I said, I'm only reading thrillers in October. And by the end of it, I was just so, like, fatigued. just reading thriller after thriller. I thought, no, this year, like, pick up thrillers, but don't say you're only reading thrillers, because you're not going to. That will be a lie.
And they're all very overwhelming as well. It's not like it's a nice laid-back read, light-hearted. They're all quite intense.
Yeah, like, you can't just go, oh, I'll just pick that up and be done with it. Like, you've got to sit and think.
You definitely have to read and use. I feel like I become a detective with every thriller I read, and I think my brain just wants a bit of a break.
Yeah, I felt like I had to start writing notes, like, this person knows this person, but they are going here, and I was like, no, if you've got to write it down, it's not a good book.
No, it's just a bit too intense.
Yeah. So speaking of intense and books, our book club pick is Hamnet. So we all nominated books and voted, and we voted for Hamnet. And I was so glad, because I've had it on my shelf for a while, and I knew I just wouldn't pick it up without that push.
Yes, I completely agree.
And I wouldn't have, even if I did pick it up, if we weren't reading it in the book club. I know, like, this is probably a controversial thing because everybody loves it, but I had to put it down. I would just give up by now.
I completely agree. If we weren't reading it for book club, I would not have finished it. I only finished it so we could talk about it as a group and hope other people have the same opinion as I had.
Yeah. So I was reading it, and then I switched to audiobook.
Oh, right.
Because I knew I just didn't want to read it in the evenings, and I was not going to get out of bed to read it in the morning. So I was like, no, I'm going to walk in the dog or whatever. I'll just put it on. So I've got about 5 hours left, and I'm reading it on 1.1 speed, because any faster and the narrator's going way too fast. But I don't know what's happening. I have absolutely no idea.
It's so over descriptive, especially at the beginning. I found about midway that it slowed down, and it was a bit more about the characters and their emotions and the feeling. I think it was just before the end of part one, and then going into part two, I actually thought, oh, okay, it's picking up now. And then I found that I had lost focus of it completely. And even you saying it's got 5 hours left sounds like an awful long time to have to sit through, because it's so descriptive.
Yeah, well, I'm just pulling it up on the app here, because
I can hear it start playing.
A little teaser. So part two is one chapter, and it's 3 hours and 15 minutes long.
Yeah, I recognise this when I started reading it. It's because it's not split into chapters, is it? I don't think any of it is split into chapters, from what I can remember.
Yeah, so I thought, right, I'll get to the end, like, because it is chaptered on Audible. I was like, I'll get to the end of this chapter, and I'll pick it up in the book and just, like, fly through a bit, maybe skim read it. I couldn't find it because there was no numbers. I was like, I have no clue where I am.
Yeah, no, I've just looked at my notes on it, and one of them is there is a lack of no chapters. And although I thought that was quite clever, because I never knew when to put it down because there were no chapters, and it just meant I sort of whizzed through it towards the end, I was going, oh, I really need a chapter to end on, because I am not focusing on this book. I have no idea what's going on.
I find with these, like, award-winning literary fiction, brilliant books, they're just wasted on me.
I agree. I don't find them fascinating either.
Yeah, like, I love a rom-com or a thriller. Like, literary fiction is just not. There's obviously, like, it's obviously brilliant. It wins plenty of awards and, you know, fantastic. But all the wordy descriptions just aren't to my taste.
I just found it took so long to get to any actual plot line that by that point I was so overwhelmed with all the description that I just didn't really care what was happening, I suppose.
Yeah. And it might be because I am listening to it. I haven't found too, like, like sentences that you go, oh, that's a lovely sentence.
Yeah, exactly that.
Like when Transcendent Kingdom.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That is similar. It's not, it's quite short, that one, but it's like literary fiction and it's brilliant. But it was quite descriptive, but then there were some sentences in it and I was like, that's a gorgeous sentence. Like I would highlight that.
Yeah.
It's like made sense. I haven't found that in this book yet.
No, I think the only bit I actually quite enjoyed in that book was the bit about the flea's journey and how the sister, is it the sister, got, I can't remember what it's called, the illness. And it described the flea's journey on the back of the monkey. And I did find that quite interesting, but that is the only bit, and it probably wasn't all that long. So if that's the only bit in the book I actually enjoyed, that was not much to rate it on.
No. I think we're probably, I am interested to see what the, comes out of the discussion. We probably should have recorded this episode after we had the discussion as a group, but it is what it is. What other people think of it, because so many people just love it.
I've seen beautiful. So many good reviews.
Yeah, I think maybe we're just not the audience for it. We're
maybe not. I don't know who the panel is for this award winning, but it's clearly not us.
Yeah, like probably academics. Like, I mean, you're a teacher, so you're an academic. But
that maybe that's why I like a book that's quite easy to read. And Hamlet was not one for me. I quite like it. I spend most of my time reading children's books, if I'm being completely honest. So Hamlet was quite far-fetched and intellectual for me. I was like, oh no, I'm not sure about this.
Yeah, it's definitely a departure from my rom-coms. I feel like we've just ended that on quite a negative.
Yeah.
If you like literary fiction and descriptive, character-driven books, you will probably love Hamlet. If you're a plot gal, you won't. That's a fair assumption, I think.
Absolutely.
So that brings us towards the end. So I have two final questions. One is, who would be your three bookish dinner guests?
So I think the first one I would have would be Jane Eyre. I'm not a massive fan of classics, despite getting all the Wordsworth classic covers, because they're just beautiful. And I am trying to read them, but I do find them quite hard going. But Jane Eyre, I can remember reading during my English literature A-level and just loving it. I don't know if that's because it's the first classic I've ever read, but she's just such a loyal and passionate character. And I think she would just be fascinating to have at dinner and just to talk to. And I think she'd always have your back no matter what as well, which is great. My second one would probably be, I've just finished Eleanor Oliphant is Completely Fine. I think I've said that correctly.
Yeah,
I think I'd probably have Eleanor. I think she's brilliant. I think she's feisty. I loved all her character development, but just her friendship that develops throughout the book was just brilliant. I think I'd definitely have her as one of my guests.
I read that on holiday, must have been 2018, I want to say. And I flew through it, called it my favourite book after I got back from holiday. I was like, yeah, that's my number one. Recommended it to everybody. Can I, for the life of me, remember what happens in that book? I have no idea. I know I loved it, but I wouldn't even know where to start. But I remember absolutely loving it.
I'd seen it everywhere, like always recommended, all over Bookstagram still, even though I don't know when it was published, but obviously 2018 it was around. And I thought, no, I've got to read this because I haven't yet. And a friend then re-recommended it to me, and it blew me away how brilliant it was. I loved it.
Yeah. Hopefully she writes something else now.
I hope so.
There isn't anything else from, is it Gail Honeyman?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. That would be nice. That would be an anticipated read.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be my most anticipated read. So let's hope she starts writing soon. And my last guest would probably be Giovanna Fletcher. I absolutely love her books. They are the most comforting, reassuring books. Even when they have a bit of heartbreak in them, I find I can pick them up and read them again. And they're always my go-to book if I'm feeling like in a bit of a reading slump, to pick me up. And I mean, she could bring Tom along too. So it's probably two in one. But
yeah. Give her a plus one.
I'm definitely anticipating their third book in the Eve of Man series trilogy.
I've never read any of the trilogy or anything by Giovanna Fletcher, but she's just brilliant. So I have got her new one to read next week, maybe.
I think Billy and Me is one of my favourite books ever. I think I must have read it about six times.
Really? Do you reread a lot?
Not often, to be honest with you. I've got so much on my to-be-read pile that I haven't got a lot of time to reread. Like I say, it tends to be when I need a pick-me-up book that I will just go, no, I need one that I know I like. I'll pick this book up and reread it. But there's so much out there, it's really difficult. That doesn't mean I don't keep them all in the hope that one day I will reread them and I have no room on my bookshelves anymore, but never mind.
That's what happened. Move house and you can get a new bookshelf. New house, new bookshelf.
Well, that's exactly what I've done. So I'm glad you've given permission for that because that's exactly what has happened.
That's why you move house. When people were going around to like view our house when we were moving, they were like, oh, you've got a lot of books. And I was like, yeah, we're just moving house because they don't fit here anymore. And then
don't worry about us not fitting.
Yeah. And I'd be like, oh God, I shouldn't say that. There's plenty of storage. Please buy the house.
Absolutely. Yeah, no. My first priority was where am I going to put my bookshelf and how are all my books going to look on it?
Yeah, that was something that was actually baffled me about this house. There's not a single shelf.
Oh my goodness. How are they coping?
Like, where did they keep their things? Even if you don't have books, where did you keep anything?
Wow.
I don't understand what.
That's completely baffling.
Yeah, not a single shelf in the whole house. On that note, who would be your desert island book and a breakfast?
So I have gone for my book would be The Boy, the Mole, the Fox and the Horse.
I love that.
I love it so much. I love the illustrations. I love that you don't even have to read it from the beginning.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan of just picking it up and opening it and going, oh, what can I learn from this book today? Or what quote will comfort me today from this book? I just love it.
Yeah.
So that would definitely be my desert island book because I don't think you'd ever get bored of it either.
No, there's plenty to look at.
Absolutely. And I think my breakfast, I don't want to sound really boring, but I thought of, I could have pancakes and like with golden syrup or with sugar and lemon, which are my favourite. And then thought, do you know what? I'll probably just want toast because you can't beat some toast with butter on it. I could eat it for every meal and be quite happy.
Toast is, I don't want to say underrated because I think everybody knows how brilliant toast is. But just doesn't get the love it deserves online because it doesn't look so good.
I completely agree. It doesn't look good in your pictures.
Yeah, and just putting I'd probably burn my toast, rip it, add some butter in it, and it just looked like disgusting.
Yeah. So. No, but as boring as it's going to sound, I'm probably going to have to stick with toast because you just can't beat it.
One of my guests last season actually recommended putting a little tiny sprinkle of cinnamon on the toast.
Really?
And I did try it, and it wasn't bad. But if you have a sweet tooth, it might be worth a go.
That sounds like a very Christmassy thing to do. I might have to try it in December. Maybe I'll go for that.
Yeah, that's a good idea, actually. December breakfast. There we go. All sorted. Way ahead. Head schedule.
Absolutely, 2 months early, but never mind.
Yeah. Well, that brings us to the end. Thank you so much for being a guest and sharing your most important read and having the same opinion as me on Hamlet.
You're very welcome. I'm glad we agree. At least there'll be two of us in book club that agree and have the same viewpoint.
Yes, definitely. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Breakfast Book Club. If you've enjoyed the episode, please leave a review as it helps other people to find the podcast. Hopefully, I will see you back here first thing Monday morning for the next episode. Bye!